So I wanted to start learning a little bit about tefillah, and everyone's, what are you going to talk about? Halacha, hashkafa, the meaning, you know, concept, philosophy. I said, no, I'm just going to translate the words. Just going to learn a little bit about what we are, what is it that we're saying, with some explanation, of course. But if there was a maisa with Rav Chatzkel Levinstein was the mashgiach in Panovich, in the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai and everywhere. People lived off him. It was like Bekitzer. So when he got to Israel, he was first in Yerushalayim, and he would give shmuzin the whole time in Yerushalayim. Different groups of people would come and hear shmuzin from him and all that. So someone came to him and the Panovich Arav, and he offered him a position to be the Mashgiach in Panovich Yeshiva. And that's how we know him as the Mashgiach in Panovich, in Pratskol. So he accepted the position. So the people in Yerushalayim were very upset. All the Talmidim that were his Talmidim in Yerushalayim, they said, how could it be? What are you going to, was that sein mit uns? It's going to be with us. So he says, you don't have to learn anything to worry about. As long as you say Pesukei Dezimra with Kavana every day, you'll be fine. So it means, what he's saying is that really we have a tool. Tefillah is not just a chiv. Tefillah is a tool that we have. It's given to us as a tool to create our relationship with Hashem. So if a person takes advantage of the tool three times a day, then he's living on a whole different level. He's taking advantage of the tool given to him, and he says, you know what? I'm not just going to fulfill my chiyuv of davening. I'm going to actually use it to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is what you're supposed to be doing when you daven. So then he's on a whole different level. Imagine three times a day, every day, he sits down. Imagine if someone would take out three times a day of their busy schedule and take out 10 minutes a day to talk to that kid, talk to the child. Child feels like $1 million, right? And you develop a relationship, right? We have an opportunity, kaviyochel, to develop a yachas v'Ribbono Shel Olam, speak to Ribbono Shel Olam, say the shvachim and the bakashas, everything we need to do. But that's because we have to understand what's going on. We have to say the words. If you're going to just say it as a chiv, I have to daven, then first of all, we'll see that you're not even yotzei tefillah if you do it that way. And not only maybe you're not yotzei tefillah, but it's definitely not taking advantage of what tefillah is meant to be doing. Okay? I'll get it.
Sorry.
Paskin's a halacha. This is not a Musar idea. It says, Yispalel, this is in Siman Tzadiches, Sif Gimel. It says, Yispalel derech tachanunim. A person should daven derech tachanunim, kirosh hamivakesh bapesach, like someone who's poor asking for something at the door. V'shaloi teroi alav kemasa, shouldn't just look like a chiv. And you're just trying to be yoytzit design, which is really a mission in Pirkei Avos, that you shouldn't make your tefillah tachanun. You shouldn't make your tefillah keva. Ata se tefillah kva. Ela tachanunim lufnei amakom. Okay. Tachanunim means that you're asking for something.
Shouldn't be like you're asking.
No, it shouldn't be choiva. It shouldn't just be, I have a mitzvah to do, I have to do this now. No, you should use it as an opportunity to ask something. What does it mean? So he says that you have to go slow and ask. V'yasim eliboy, and you should put in your heart, she'ein biyad shum nivra. There's nothing that was created that can help you. Malach mazal ekoichov. L'malach she'ilasa kiyim bertzayna. Okay? And he says like this. This is a Mishnah Berurah. Not Shaykh. Aval pisha oimer b'loshen tachanunim im einu mechashiv kama shetzarek davar ubolim fakish lefnei melech. Even if you say the words of tachanunim, but your attitude and your tone of voice is not one that you're coming to ask, el shemispalu b'pnei hachiyuv lotzei sidei chavasai einu nachoin. That's not the way to daven. Umeoid tzarek lizar b'zeh. Be very careful not to do this. Not to daven in a way just to be yotzei. Umikol makayim, however, b'dieved but even if you did it, he says, you shouldn't daven over again. It's a shaykh. He's not saying a muster idea. He's saying, and look at the bir halacha. What does the bir halacha say? He says, mame oid tzarch adam lizar bazeh, ki yesh kama poiskim hamatzrichim lachzor ul hispalel machmazeh. There are some shittas hold you not yoytze, and you have to daven over again. If you didn't feel at the time that you were davening, that you were asking Hashem for something, you're not yoytze, according to the Bach. Ve'el yirabo. V'chim muchach me'abes yosef. V'amayim amorotchai u'magin gibor. And they hold that the Rambam holds like this. Well, the Daiti, he says, you could, maybe it's not such a good raya, but you should, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Okay, so he says the Bach and El Yerabah and the Beis Yosef hold that if a person just says the words of davening, they have no clue what they're saying. Forget the fact that in the first brach of tefillah, of avos, you have to have kavana. That's for sure. You're not yoytze. Okay, I can calculate that if you said the first brach of Shemoneh Esrei without kavana, you're not yoytze. I can take the chayyadim and the stipel has a whole shtickle to explain why you're allowed to continue davening. Let's say you spaced out. All of a sudden, you're like, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere and you remember that I'm in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei now. Are you allowed to continue davening? You're not yoytze. It's a bracha of atol at this point. Because you said the first bracha without kavana. It's a whole shayla. You're allowed to continue. Rabbi Yashiv said, don't continue. Rabbi Yashiv held, you shouldn't continue davening. It's a bracha of atol. What you should do is, you should wait till the chazen gets up to where you're up to and listen to him for the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. That's Rabbi Yashiv's pshat. Obviously, apparently, that's not the minhag ha'olam. But my point is, that's just kavana of understanding the words of avos. Okay, fine. But besides avos, okay, leaving that aside, but there's another chiyuv that you have to daven and with the hergish that you need to come onto the Ribbono Shel Olam for something. You need to come onto the Ribbono Shel Olam for something. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you can get it without tefillah, if there's a way for you to get it without tefillah, and you just, so really, I'm just davening to be yoytze my chiyuv, because I have to daven. So according to the Bach and the Yair, you're not yoytze. And Mishavur says, okay, l'maisa b'diavid, you are yoytze and don't daven over again. But l'maisa, that's not what tefillah is. Okay. Tefillah is the aleph base of tefillah is that it's avodah shebalev. Avodah shebalev. There's avodah in maisa, and there's avodah shebalev. When there's no karbanas, what's in place of karbanas? Tefillah. So, what's the idea of a karban? What's a karban? A karban is a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a very bad term. A sacrifice sounds like you're giving up of yourself something. Right? A karban is not about giving up anything. You're not giving anything. Forget everything belongs to Rabbeinu Shalom anyway. A sacrifice is a very bad term. What a karban is, it's a hiskarv, it's a lashon kariv, it's a sharish kufrej beis, it's a lashon of kurva, of closeness to Hashem. Is that by bringing a karban to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you hope that through this, you should bring a hiskarv to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you should understand that really everything is his, etc., etc. And that really I owe you so much, and really I should put myself on the Mizbeach, but I'm not going to put myself on the Mizbeach, etc., right? So that's the Indian of a carbon. So now tefillah is b'makom carbon, so that means that today the way to get korva to the Ribbono Shel Olam is through tefillah. Okay, so if the way to get korva to the Ribbono Shel Olam is through tefillah, it's the b'makom carbon. It's avodah shebalev. So therefore, the only way that a person can use tefillah, so that's what we're saying, is that tefillah is, besides that, it's a chiyuv. And maybe you're not even yoytze if you daven as a chiyuv. Whatever. But the idea of tefillah is that it's a tool that we should use. for his karvas to Ribbono Shel. So the only way that that's shaykh is if a person understands the words. You have to understand the basic pashat, the meaning of the words that you're saying. If you don't know the words that you're saying, then you definitely are not going to be able to use it as a tool to the karvas to Ribbono Shel, unless you're a very big maimon. You know, in the old days, it could be they had ladies that would say Tehillim over and over again. Maybe they didn't really know what they were saying, but they knew that this was a way to get korva to Ribbono Shel Olam. Back in the old days, you had these, you had that madrega of people, you know. But nowadays, we will only steig from our tefillah if we understand that what it is that we're saying. So therefore, the importance of this, I think, is tremendous, because our whole avodah today is tefillah. Our whole avodah of being scavers to Ribbono Shel Olam is through tefillah. And we do it so often that the pshat is, everyone's looking, what should I be mekabel? Should I finish Shas? Or should I finish... Everyone's like trying to figure out what is the Shas. You know, maybe I should learn next Masechta, maybe I should learn Mishnais, maybe I should learn Mishabruah, maybe I should become myself to do this mitzvah, that chesed. What is Hashem Mekabel? Well, there's one thing. It doesn't take any extra time. Is to learn the Pirush HaMilos of Tefillah. You're doing it anyway. That's the Pella. We're all doing it anyway. So just to put in the extra... It's just a little more... It's just a little bit more effort, but it's not more time. Even necessarily, just a little effort. Think about the words, concentrate on what you're saying, and use it as to steig. A person will find themselves as a changed person. That they all of a sudden they get re-energized every time they daven and they use their tefillah as a tool to get them through the day. We have a tefillah 3 times a day. There's also meals 3 times a day. You're a doctor. Is it healthy to snack all the time? You should just eat at mealtime.
That's a controversy.
Oh yeah?
Yes, there's a controversy. Some
so
people,
I hold. Well,
I think most. I say, we really don't know. Probably it's healthy to eat more frequent small meals, but we really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going not like that.
Okay.
I'm going like the other side of the controversy. that of course is posh. That it's better to not be eating all day. What are you talking about? Eat all day. You're supposed to eat when you're supposed to eat, and it's supposed to carry you through to the next meal. That's the Torah way you're supposed to look at it. That's what the Sforno says. The Sforno says that the whole idea that they gained in by eating the man, one of the things that they gained by the man, the Sforno writes, is that they had mesuder meals. They ate in the morning and the evening, and as opposed to Mitzrayim, their meals weren't masudah. So every time they found some food in the pantry, they'll go chop and run. And now they're not only get masudah like a meal, what Matisyahu said over this farm. It's supposed to be masudah, you're supposed to eat like a mensch, breakfast. But what's the point? The point is that your nourishment carries you over from one meal to the next. So your spiritual nourishment is supposed to carry you over also from one tefillah to the next. You're supposed to daven shachas and it's supposed to carry you over to mincha.
I daven more frequently than I eat meals, I'll tell you that.
The snacking is also supposed to be the
sin. Yeah, I know.
The healthy snacking.
I hope your neshama is not as thin as your goof.
I only eat once a day.
I'm saying, but I hope your neshama is not as thin as your goof. Okay, now, therefore, someone asked me today, so where are you starting from? Shemoneh Esrei, Shema? No, where are you starting from? Modani. Where else? That's where the Siddur starts from. So, person wakes in the morning, you say, Modani. So, I'm not going to be marachan that because it's not really the chiyuv of tefillah, but the opinion of Modani is that a person should realize is that everything that even we take for granted, and there's obviously the hakdam with everything, is that whatever we take for granted, we shouldn't take for granted.
Where does Modani come from?
Where does Modani come from? For that, you have to look in this siddur. This is the official Kollel siddur. If you look in this siddur. Modani comes from it's from a Medrash Rabba in Eicha. That's the Makar, and the person who the first Siddur that it was printed in was Seder Hayoyim. The Seder Hayoyim brings it down.
When was that written?
I'm not sure exactly. Okay, but everything that we take, that we say, we take for granted. You can't take anything for granted. Even the fact that we wake up in the morning, we think that that's so posh. But Sheikh Hazata be nishmasi. There's a dik there. Nishmasi. So moida ani lefanecha. Obviously, a person thanks Ribbono Shel Olam, wakes up with that idea that even just this thing that I woke up, I have to be thankful. But there's another thing. Is that Shechazar Tabi Nishmasi? You give me back my Nisham, because the Magen Avraham brings down from that Rizal and other things, is that if a person doesn't go to sleep properly, they can Chas Hashem get a different Nishama. You can get a Nishama of a guy or whatever, and that's part of why he says as an Indian saying Krishma Lamita, is to make sure that you go to sleep and you get back in the morning your proper Nishama.
Do people get back the wrong neshama?
You gotta ask someone else for that question. That's beyond my scope of knowledge. But all I know is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says is that what you're supposed to have in mind when you say the words nishmasi is lafuke this Magen Avraham. He said, no, I have a muna, you're gonna give me back my neshama. Okay? Now, by the way, just not that I'm struggling, but it's very interesting. That David Breyer, Alav Hashem, gave me the siddur. The siddur has a pirush of Reb Chaim Kanievsky on the siddur. So, and then he showed me this vart, the following vart. So, Leila Nishama, he just had his yahrzeit, let's say over this vart. That the tefillah says, Shechazar Tabi Nishmasi, Bechemla Rabba Emunasecha. So, Chaim wants, why Bechemla? It's a funny, of all words, you don't use that word very often. Chemla is like a certain type of rachmanus. Say b'chesed. That's the normal thing. Chemla, and the rest of tefillah, you don't use this word very often. Hashem, you gave me back my neshama b'chemla, with chemla. This is a shaykh de kavart. He says that, Reb Chaim says that by light, it says, v'yechaziku ha'anashim b'yaday uvi'ar ha'avad b'chemla s'Hashem alav. Hashem shur chemla to light. So he says, what required the midah of chemla? The midah of chemla was that to take something from one place to and put it into another place, okay, that it doesn't really belong there, is chemla. Loit didn't belong out of loit, stoim. He really should have stayed in stoim and gotten killed. There's a chemla on him that he took him out of where he belonged and he put him to a different place. That's the midah of chemla. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will, even with that midah, he will take things that aren't deserving and replace them somewhere else. So he says, that's the midah Hashem shows when he takes a neshama that's in Shemaim. It's supposed to be in Shemaim. It's supposed to have stayed there. But Hashem takes a chemla and puts it back in your guf. That's chemla. That he takes a neshama from where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be stay in Shemaim. That's where it belongs. And he puts it in your guf. That's the midah of chemla. So go in this. But anyway, okay, fine. So now, the first tefillah that we really say, okay, the first tefillah that one's supposed to say when they come to shul in the morning, we'll talk maybe about the brachas and all that. But the very first tefillah that a person says, obviously you come to shul, is the tefillah of Adonai Olam. This is the first tefillah that's printed in the Siddur, you know, after Matoiv, which is when you come to shul. But at the Seder at tefillah, the first tefillah is Adonai Olam. Now, Adonai Olam is a very important tefillah. We say it. It's the first tefillah you say in the morning, and it's the last tefillah you say at night after in Kriyat Shema Lamita. You begin your day with Adonai Olam, and you end your day with Adonai Olam. So we think, oh well. I'm older now. I don't have to say it. That was my kids. My kids say it in nursery, but I'm done. You know, I moved on to bigger, better things, like skipping half a pesukah d'zimra. Like that's where I'm at. So, lemaisa, the siddur starts with Adonai Olam, and it's a very straight as the tefillah. So I want to explain a little bit why. What's the inyan of Adonai Olam? What's the idea of it? So, to understand that, understand something else. And there's a big aside. Why is Adonai Olam a hakdama to tefillah? And the answer is like this. That let's think about it. Another question. Why does it say Adonai Olam, he's the master of the world, Asher Malach, who ruled, and what it says is Beterem Kol, before everything else was around, Yitzir Nivra. He ruled before everything was created. When at the time that he created everything through his chefetz, through his ratzon, when things were made, with his chefetz kol, everything was made, as I melech, he became the melech. Shemoinikos, we're talking about melech. So why do we start Adonai? We should say melech oilam. Melech oilam asher molach. That makes more sense, right? Why do we refer to it as Adonai? And similarly, in every bracha, we say baruch atah Hashem, and the lashon we use is Adoin, the Shem Adnos, same word. But we don't say Adoin to the plane. We end with Noi, right? Noi means my, okay? So Adoin, and it's not just an Adoin out there, it's Noi, it's mine, my Adoin. And then we say, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. So why don't we just say, Baruch Atah Malki Elokeinu. What's Adoin? Why are we using the word Adoin? So Shimon Schwab writes an amazing idea. The Shem Adnos, what's the difference between an Adoin and a Melech? Both people have subjects. And both times the subject, an Adoin and a Melech, right? A Melech has subjects of the government, of the country, and Adoin has his Avadim. And the subjects want to please the master, or whatever, do things, right? The difference is Pasha, is that the Melech obviously has a lot more power. The Melech has the power over the whole entire country. But none of the subjects have any relationship with the Melech. Right? So the subjects, they'll go pay taxes, they don't want to be caught, they'll do things, but they don't have any sense of that they have a relationship with the Melech, or they could ask the Melech for anything, or that even the Melech is proud of any of their accomplishments. Right? When I pay taxes, I don't feel like, oh, anyone feels good about it. Right? You give a donation to a place, and you know that, oh, the rabbi feels good. They got the donation. So you have a relationship. But thumbs up, you pay taxes. You don't feel good about it, right? And he's not proud of that. You pay. You know that you did anything. You're a good citizen award. I mean, so the word is that even though Hashem is the melech of the whole entire world, but we're not davening to Hashem because he's the melech only. Because if he was a melech, we wouldn't be davening to him because we wouldn't have that relationship. It's only because he's our adoin. It's like a personal master with his Eved. That the Eved has a personal relationship to master. And he has a mission. The Adoin gives him something to do that morning. You know, today your job is to do X, Y, and Z, and I'll provide you everything you need for that job, and then I'll check on it in the evening. You did a great job. I'll give you a new job tomorrow. And if I need something else to do my job, I'll ask him, you know, the Adoin. So there's a relationship. Okay, so what Shimon Schwab says is that there's no use in mentioning Melech if you're not going to be makdim it by saying Adoin. Because if he's just the Melech, and what are you davening? You can't connect to that. So you have to say Baruch Atah, every bracha, Adoin. You use the word, the kinoi, the Hashem Adnos, which indicates that Hashem is the Adoin. Hashem is the Adoin on you. He's not just, you know. And it's Noi, he's my other. Specifically, I can have a relationship with him. This is the Chiddush. Okay? So, and this, therefore, is also the same thing. What's the Hakdama to Shmoneh Esrei? We say that, Adoi, right? Noi, Sfasai Tiftach. Is that we say Hashem. Is but you should the Lashon Adnos, the same thing. Because you have a relationship with me, therefore I can start davening. Use the Lashon Adnos, Dafka. Then this is what it's supposed to talk about. It's supposed to talk about our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shleil. This is what Rav Shimon Schwab writes. Beautiful Machshav. So, by the way, with this you understand another idea is that the Gemara in Brachis says that Lo Haya Adam. Shakara la Allah. Haya Adam, Shakara la Hashem Adoin. Actually, Avram Avinu Vakroi Adoin. Then no one used the word Adoin to describe Hashem until Avram Avinu came around. That's what the Gemara says. So the Shaila is what I mean, but there was a lot of tzaddikim out there. No, yeah, there was a lot of people out there. Only Avram Avinu was the first one to call him Adoin. So Terence says, what was the Chiddush of Avram Avinu? What was he Mechadish in the world? So, if you think about it, how's it shayach that you have 20 that from the time Adam Arishon was created, okay, Yitzir Kapov Shal Hashem created Adam, Okay, can't get more clear about your idea of Hashem than Adam Arishon. And then a few generations later, bam, Avodah Zarah. What's going on? How's it possible? Enosh already was doing Avodah Zarah. What's going on? So the Rambam says that the pshat was is because they felt that Hashem was too great to ask him for these little things. I'm going to ask Hashem. It's like calling up the president and saying, I have a power outage on my block. Call up the president. Call up the person who's in charge of electricity. And then, he'll get back to the president. Avada, the president is all. Avada, no one's denying the power of the president. That's not the point. But he's not the one you call for an electrical power outage. Right? And not only that, if you call him for the power outage, it's Pasha Bizoyan. What, you think I work for FPNL? What are you calling me for? It's Pasha Bizoyan. So they held that HaKadosh Baruch, the way Avodah Zarah started was that they partially held it was a bizoyan to ask Ribbono Shel for your needs. If there's a power of rain and I need parnasa, I'll ask for the rain. Well, I have to ask Ribbono Shel for every little thing. Not only should I not ask him, it's a bizoyan if I ask him. And this is how Avodah Zarah started. Sounds like a good svara. What?
Yeah.
So that's how Avodah Zarah started. And now what ended up happening is that they ended up thinking that that rain was in charge of the rain. Originally, they would ask the sun, shine light on me as a shliach of Hashem. You're a shliach of Hashem, I know that. I know Hashem gave you the power. You were appointed by Hashem to give light. But I don't want to bother Hashem with it, so you please give me. But eventually, they cut off Hashem from it, and they just associated the power with the sun. That's what's called koitzitz benetiyos. That Avodah Zarah is called koitzitz benetiyos. In the simple, obviously, this is Kabbalistic terms. And I'm not saying that because I know the Kabbalistic terms, and I'm just saying I'm not explaining it, not for now. I have no idea what it means, but I'm just saying the Rambam says, very simple. What it means is that they cut off the tree. It's like you think the tree starts here. There's no roots underneath the ground. Like this is the tree. What do you mean the whole tree? So they would have disassociated the power of the sun from Hashem. That was the idea. Okay? So Avram Avinu was the first person who said, no, Hashem wants you to ask him for every little thing. Hashem wants you to ask him that when you're driving around to give me a parking spot. Well, I'm going to bother him for that? Yes, Hashem wants you to ask him for every little thing. You have a meeting tomorrow with your boss. I want it to go well. Ask Hashem that it should go well. I have a question about any little thing. Oh, I'm going to ask Hashem. So what's the Shach Matarya? They treat Hashem as a melech. And we also have to treat Hashem as melech. But we have to develop that into the relationship of Adoin. And Adoin is the one that he's your master. So, I have my mission. You're giving me what I need to fulfill my mission. So you ask him for everything. You have a personal relationship. So the whole tefillah, the whole concept of tefillah cannot start without the hakdama of Adoin. You have to have Adoin. So Mamela, you start off the day with this, and you end off the day with this. You start off the day, Adoin Olam, you're the Adoin of the world, not just the Melech. Every person in the world, you're an Adoin to them. You're a master to each individual person in the world. Now, Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Yeah, so, you have to, he's the Melech. But first I have to be makdim that he's mainly the Adoin. That's the Akdamah to Tefillah. The Siddur Agra adds is that since Avram Avinu was the first one to say the word Adoin, so therefore, since Shachris is Keneged Avram Avinu, we start off with Adoin Olam. Because Avram was the one who came up with the word Adoin. And that's why before Shemitz we say also Adoin. That's the Siddur Agra's Knech. It's like paying homage to Avram Avinu. But besides that, it's because Avram Avinu was the one that developed this concept that Hashem is the Adoin of the personal relationship that we have with Him. So you start Adoin Olam, Asher Molach. Kam Kol Yitzir Nivra. Leis Nasa Mechavtachol Azai Melech Shemoy Nikra. And then we can reach the dark of calling him the Melech. But if you're going to go straight to Melech and skipping Adoin, you're in trouble. You have to start off with Adoin. And then you say, oh, he's not just an Adoin. He's Melech. So in the Abrocha that we say, Baruch Atah Adoin, you're my Adoin. Elokeinu melech oilam. But you're the melech of the oilam. But for me, I'm asking you because you're my other. That's what matters. This is Rav Shimon Schwab's pirish and the significance of this particular tefillah. So you go through the rest of the tefillah, but this is the idea, okay? And I think it's a merdek hakdama. A person has the little time it takes to say Adon Olam, and he has this in mind as a hakdama to tefillah. It puts him in that framework that he's the Adon, but he's also the Melech. Between
the end of that meal, Shabbos morning.
I don't know if that's anything. What?
A lot of shul, we
don't. We say it on Yom Tov. We say it on Yom Tov.
A lot of shuls say it. A lot of shuls say it.
Yeah, because all I mean.
Same kind of connection. Must be the same kind of connection.
Well, the rest of the tefillah shows our reliance, our pure reliance on Hashem. That's the idea of the tefillah. The idea of the tefillah is that we have to rely purely and totally on Hashem. Let's go through it.
Huh?
Maybe, because Shabbos, you know, Shabbos. Right.
Come How here. Did it get at the beginning of davening or at the end of davening?
Well, it was put there by the Seder. Oilam, it's called.
How did they decide?
That's what I'm telling you. Okay. What do you mean, how did they decide? Who?
Whoever put this.
They're telling you that this is obviously whoever put it there is smarter than us.
Right.
And what they're telling you, this is an introduction. You can't go move on in davening without this. So the first thing you have to know, he's your Adon. It's not at the end.
But some people.
I don't think that's right. That's a later minute. I think it's not right, but that's not the Ikra place for it. The Ikra place is in the beginning. Okay? Now, if you go. So it's Kriya Shema at the end of the day. Well, part of it is also the reliance on Hashem. If you go through the rest of it, let's just go through the rest. So Adon Olam, you're the Adon Asher Malach, and you are the Melech even before there was a world. And then when you created people, right? Then you created people. V'acharei kechlois hakol. And then also, that was before the world. And after the world ceases to exist. Acharei kechlois hakol. When there's nothing left, levadoi yum loich noira. You're going to be the Melech yourself. So you were before everything, and you're going to be after everything, because the world's going to be destroyed. Even after the world's destroyed, you're still going to be there.
So it implies the world will be destroyed.
Yeah, the world will be destroyed before Mashiach comes. It says, Sheshes
Alofim. So there'll be no people or anything, just Hashem.
It says, the Shamas are going to be flying around with wings. And I'm not going to try to explain what that means.
Okay.
Now, what?
Say it for our time.
Next round. We finish
this. Yeah, we'll go through Mamari Chazal a different time. But that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. That the 6,000 years of the world, the 7,000, the Neshamas will be flying around with wings, and the world will be destroyed. And after that, Mashiach will come. And obviously, it's meant to explain a concept of how we're going to be, what that existence will be like. Okay, the existence will be as though we have no shaykhis to this world and we're flying around on wings, and whatever it's trying to tell you. Okay, but there will be a certain level of destruction of the world as we know it before the final stage of Mashiach. Okay, I'm not here to explain that Gemara, but that's what it says. Okay, so that's what we're saying in the tefillah. Then it says, "V'hu haya, v'hu hayve." He will be, he was, he will, he is, v'yiyeh, and he will always be. B'sifara, in his glory. V'hu echad ve'in sheni. He's the only one with any strength. L'hamshel loy, l'hamshel v'hu echad ve'in sheni l'hamshel loy. There's nothing else that you could be, give a mashal to him. L'hachbir, or to make a chaver to him. From Lashon chabir, l'hachbira is from Lashon chaver. You can't be give a mashal or make a chaver to him with anything in the world. Nothing has any comparison. Bili reishis, bili sach. This is no beginning or end of a loy ha'oizah. Mystery is all the power in the world. Now, that is says vahu. And this is part of this concept of Rav Shimon Schwab. Vahu. This same one that I'm telling you, before the world, after the world, nothing in the world can compare. Hashem is the greatest. Vahu? This Ribbono Shel Olam that we just talked about, that has all the power in the world, that was and will be, and will outlast everything. Vahu? What is he? Keli. He's Keli, my personal Hashem. I can have a personal relationship with him. V'chai? Goyali. And he's my Goyal. Now, Goyal doesn't just mean a redeemer. Goyal also means a relative in the Chumash. Right? Hagoyal HaKarav Elov. Like by Rus. Goyal Adam, by Rus. That they went to the Goyal to that someone should a relative that should marry Rus. That's with that on Aleph. Goyel is a redeemer, but also means a goyel is like by the if you're makdish a sade, it says that a goyel should come and redeem it. So there's a certain language. Dehu goyel v'chai goyel v'tzur chevli, and he's my rock that I can whenever when I have tsar base tsar. So who do you go to cry on when you have a problem? You go to the president. I have a court case coming up. Can you help me out? I'm in a tsar. No, I'm gonna kick you out. You couldn't kick you out. So why are you going? Hashem outlived everything. He's going. He was before the whole world. Ain Shani. There's nothing else in the Bria except for him. And now, it's really frustrating. Like I have to call a plumber. I have to replace my sink. It's very frustrating. So I'm in a bad mood, right? Every little thing. So be'ez tzara. If there's a tzara, who do I go to? I go to Hashem. This v'hu keli, the same one that's around the whole entire world. But v'hu keli v'chai goyali v'tzur chevli be'ez tzara. When I have a little problem, I go straight to him. V'hu nisi, he's my. I don't know how he translated it. There's different ways to translate it. I'm proud. But it's a place. Monoisly, I run to him. In Askois of Yomekra, he's my kois. A kois means is that I'm a receptacle, and he fills it up. Biyodei afkid ruchi beis ishan. When I go to sleep, I trust my neshama in him. Ve'ayir, and I wake up. Ve'imruchi giviasi, and then he puts it back in my gov. Hashem li lo ayir, and if Hashem's with me, I'm nothing to be afraid of. So this akdama tefila is telling me. On the one hand, mamash, these two things. It's the Adoin and the Melech. He's the Adoin. He's my Adoin. He watches over each and every one of us, and he gives us exactly what we need. And at the same time, he's the Melech. And this is Avram Avinu's Chiddush, because all the other Umay Sa'ilam at that time did not have this Chiddush. They were like, no, if he's the Melech, then he can't be your Adoin. If he's the Melech, it's a bizoyan to ask him for anything. So if that's so, close the Siddur. What are you davening? It's done. It's only this thing. It's Avram Avinu's Chiddush that no, he's the Melech, but you could still daven to him. And therefore, that's the Akdama. This Adon Olam is the whole Akdama. That's the whole Yisoid of Tefillah. Without this, there's no Tefillah. Because you have to know that one hand is that he's your Adon. But very nice, he's your Adon. So if he's my little Adon over here, why am I asking him? He's not capable of giving me Das. He's not capable. No, he's also the Melech, so he's capable of doing anything he wants. But you have a personal relationship, so you can go ahead and dive into him. So this is Akdama. At the end of the day, it's the other point. At the end of the day, it's the fact that I relied on you entirely. I went through a whole day, and I see what you did for me, and I relied on you, and now I'm going to rely on you to put my neshama and come back in the morning. That's at the end of the day. So at the beginning of the day, it's the statement that you're the other one I can dive in for. At the end of the day, it's the statement, I relied on you, and this is the day it came out, it was good, it was successful, and in Mitzvah Hashem, I'm going to put my neshama with you, and in the morning we'll say my da'ani. Okay.